Words on Water. Words on Water.
Hi, welcome to Words on Water, a podcast from the Water Environment Federation. I'm the host, Travis Loop, and I'm excited for this episode. It's about veterans working in the water sector. I'm here at the New England Water Environment Association Conference in Boston, and there was just a great session about this topic, and I'm lucky to be joined by a few of the folks from that session. Could you introduce yourself?
Well, thanks for having me, Travis. My name is Dustin Price. I work for the Portland Water District as their maintenance manager, planner, scheduler. I'm also the chair of NWEA's Veteran Workforce Committee. It's an ad hoc committee. We're brand new. We started just last spring.
Okay. So what's your story? I think you mentioned that you got out of the military about 16 years ago. But what did
Hey,
I'm just repeating what you said. Yeah. But tell me about your time in the military, what you did.
Absolutely. I was trained as a nuclear machinist mate in the United States Navy. With the goal of maintaining and operating a nuclear propulsion plant in a fast attack submarine. It was a very difficult training process, a year and a half of classroom and on-the-job training. It has an 80% attrition rate.
Wow.
So for 100 sailors to go in, 20 are going to be nukes, and the rest will find work elsewhere. So it's a very, very difficult training process with a very important mission.
Yeah. And I know that when you, during your presentation, you talked about some of the different subjects or areas of expertise that were part of that training. You listed off some stuff there. Could you run through those again?
Absolutely. Physics, advanced mathematics, thermodynamics, fluid flow. We had nuclear engineering, electrical and mechanical engineering. For an example, the final exam started on a blank whiteboard about the size of this wall here.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to draw from memory the entire plant and all of its subsystems involving valves, machinery, all the way through it. So it really was an in-depth interdisciplinary training.
And then, so how long were you in the military?
I was there from 96 to 2000.
Okay.
And after that, it was a period of what we discussed in the presentation of underemployment.
Yeah.
Where I wasn't pleased with nuclear, didn't want to continue with nuke, but didn't know how to address my other skills.
Yeah.
And did what many veterans do is fall into security,
mm-hmm.
which... It was what it was. Yeah. I had to work three jobs to make ends meet.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until just by accident, which is a big issue in our industry, that how everyone finds us by accident. I ended up getting into the water sector just by helping a landlord fix his tractor.
And they saw that you had mechanical skills.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Said that there was a facility looking for someone to come be a mechanic, right?
Yeah, that's correct. I told them no. Because, it was sewer, and that connotates a dirtier type of job that I was, interested in. They talked me into just giving a tour of the plant.
Okay.
And then you get that misconception of, wow, it doesn't smell horrible.
Yeah.
And you don't see what you thought you would see, and I got interested in it, and that was a career ago now.
What plant was that? Where was
that? That was with the York Sewer District in York Beach, Maine.
Okay. Yeah, you get there and you see that facility, and you're like, oh, there's a little bit more to this. This is pretty interesting, and all the technology and kind of the whole process that it goes through.
Yeah, you get that with any tour you give, too. Everyone that comes in, they're amazed at what happens. Once it's flushed, you don't care, really.
Right.
People don't seem to understand. So it started out I'll admit, it started out as a 9-to-5 maintenance job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And probably didn't become a life career until a few years later when I discovered a volunteer organization such as NWEA.
All right. And then you kind of realized the path you could take and the operator path and kind of the different certifications.
A little bit of that, but mostly you saw people that had passion.
Okay.
And you saw the value of the clean water more than the value of the paycheck, and started talking to folks that were just so bought in. And they say enthusiasm is just as infectious as apathy.
Mm.
So you get around these people that are enthusiastic of what you do, and it just sinks into your soul.
Yeah, you mentioned about driving by the beach or whatever and seeing kids playing, and then you're like, realize that outfall that's out there has got good clean water because of people like you that are making it happen.
It's true, and folks take it for granted. A lot of today's generation is coming up, and including me, I didn't see the Androscoggin River on fire, you know, or where you can tell what the tannery was putting out by the color of the river that day. You know, I'm used to rivers that I can fish and swim, and I'm used to a beach that I don't have to worry about. And it's an invisible industry. I'm so proud to be a part of it. One of my missions with this and everything else is to make it so folks can find us, not by accident.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. What is that effort that's underway?
The Water Warrior Jobs Initiative.
All right.
It started with kind of a two-state effort with New Hampshire and Maine, with a gentleman I knew named P. Goodwin up in Maine. And he had been trying to do DC fly-ins as something that we do as an industry where we, you know, discuss water issues at the legislative level. And he had tried a few times to get this to sink in, that we need some funding to help train vets, and with limited success. And I had the lucky opportunity to fly into DC myself, and he kind of handed it to my lap, said, Dustin, see what you can do. And I've never been to DC before. I was kind of touristy.
Yeah.
But still sat in front of with representatives and their staffers, and they were very interested in the idea, but I didn't have a program. Mm-hmm. They were like, great idea. You know, you have to come to us with something with more meat for us to help you. And they asked me to write up a white paper, mm-hmm. and I went home, had to figure out what a white paper was, and wrote up the Water Warrior Jobs Initiative. You know, I just came up with what I thought would have been a cool name.
Great name.
Came up with four tent poles, sold it to New Hampshire and Maine. We got approval from both of those state associations to move forward with it. And we've had for this is just last DC fly-in.
Yeah.
And in that time, it's grown into a NUIA organization with an ad hoc committee. And we've seen significant success already.
That's awesome. Let's touch briefly on those four tent poles, as you call them, of the Water Warrior approach. Training, what's that one about?
Okay, so one of the weaknesses of the water industry training programs that we have is we advertise it and teach it to ourselves. You know, the classes that are coming up, we know about it because we're in. Some of us volunteered to teach those classes. So if you're someone from outside the picture, how do you find it? You know, how do you find the training to get in unless you're already in? So with the ideas with this, and we're working with NUIAPIC, which is the New England, you know, sort of training authority, is a couple of, can we subsidize some costs so veterans can get in easier? Still doesn't address the advertising part of it and getting classes to them. And we had a young man, Stephen Simeone. He's an Air Force veteran, just came into the industry. And he's telling me about, you know, the transition assistance program that he went through that I was unfamiliar with from being so far, you know, long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying, yes, they have careers that come to you in these centers. You know, please be an electrician. We'll teach you. Or come to the corrections field. We'll teach you how to be a prison guard. Mm-hmm. So why can't we go to the same centers and be like, you know what? Come to the water industry and we can teach you a two-week class right here. There's some certain criteria you have to meet to be a GI Bill qualified class.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a facility, you have to have a consistent instructor, and you have to have a curriculum that's approved. If we can get that curriculum at their facility, I believe we're going to get that training to veterans that, you know, GI Bill qualified, so it'll be free of cost.
And then certification was another one of your tent poles.
Yeah,
there.
Certification is the second one. You know, we have an in-depth certification process to get your licensure. It's different from state to state, but typically you start with a lower license and slowly work your way back. You know, work your way up through the years, as Brandy was talking about,
mm-hmm.
which kind of fits into the military, you know, promotional thing. But how do we help them out? One of the successes we've already hit was, you know, if you're applying for a license in wastewater, there's a section where they value college credit, you know, secondary education in lieu of experience. You know, if you had a 4-year degree plus, you know, so many years at the plant, you can qualify for a higher license,
mm-hmm.
you know, valuing your education. So we want to value military experience. And I'm shocked that we've done it so fast, but Massachusetts DEP has already decided to change their certification rules. And they're going to value a veteran's experience by giving them up to 2 years of secondary education. 1 year for any rate. If you were a cook, they're valuing those soft skills like being mission-focused, being ready to be out at 2 a.m., you know, being able to follow and to lead, you know, that sort of chaos experience, they're going to give you a year for that. If you're in a technical rate that, such as Brandy's for water purification, that directly relates, there's another year on top. So that means 2 years of certification sooner to help them get that better pay.
Yeah, that's terrific, and that you got it done that quickly. I mean,
so when you say I got it done, I'm uncomfortable with that. I write agendas for my committee. I have been blessed with the most highly motivated group of volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do believe it's the message. The Water Warriors Jobs Initiative resonates, but I have a very active committee. You know, we didn't even address it with Massachusetts DEP. They came to us saying, "We love this. Here's what we'd like to do for you."
Mm-hmm.
And
so now you're going to try to make some headway in some of the other New England states.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. Maine's already took a notice of it, and so did Vermont. You know, they kind of heard about it. Maine's in the middle of doing their rules-making process, so they're going to talk about fitting this in. If we get more states to buy into that, I'd like to have it homogenous just across the region, as we're valuing veterans' work in the entire New England area.
And you're going to have to start thinking
farther
nationwide.
And farther. Yeah. Yeah.
There we go.
Hopefully farther and farther, but, you know, starting with something manageable.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Start somewhere. Another area, another one of your tent poles was about internships and apprenticeships.
Yeah, the internships and apprenticeships at first was, I thought, was going to be our biggest struggle and obstacle, and it turned out so far to have our biggest win. In the Clean Water Act language, there's funding at 104G for training and internships, which was used back in the 70s as people were getting in. There was government help to help train everybody. That's since gone. The language is still there. And this is where Pete Goodwin was trying to get funding back in. So we can use that to help offset the cost of getting interns in and help, you know, help this brain drain that's coming with the retirements. We didn't think of apprenticeships yet. We were lucky. We went to a Maine Department of Labor meeting, and I'm sitting in the meeting with Maine DEP, and her name was Autumn Maine from Department of Labor. And she, we showed her all of our stats about, you know, the so many people that are 50 and over, and then behind them there's not the what you would hope is coming up behind, so there's definitely a demand. And they had already pre-done their homework. They were so ready for us. This is why, you know, I hate taking credit. They had this on deck. Maine has an approved through the National Rural Water Association, has a wastewater apprenticeship program that outlines and details 4,000 hours of on-the-job training with different subjects of which you're going to train. It's accompanied by online classes. It has all the structure of a typical, say, union apprenticeship. And the benefits just go, it goes beyond veterans. But the biggest win for us, you know, helping out vets, is it's GI Bill qualified for a whole 2 years of training to the tune of $2,000 a month stipend.
Yeah.
So if you're an employer and you're trying to beat that wage gap, I would love to attract someone like, you know, Brandy with all the skills that she has, but our entry pay isn't going to attract her into our industry. $24,000 stipend on top is going to help a ton.
Yeah, and you were saying then that can be a gap, a stopgap, if you will, for those couple years till that individual gets all the different certifications and then can come in, you know, hopefully come in at a higher pay band or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. They're getting structured training. We're valuing their military career with those 2 years on their certification test so they can get that higher license sooner. At the end of it, the 2 years, hopefully they're going to be at a rate of pay that's going to want them to stay. I'm sure that we can make that happen. Larger than veterans, the best thing about this is, at least the way that I see it, is inconsistency in training from facility to facility. You know, my training experience was, hey, Dustin, welcome. Here's so-and-so. Follow him around. He'll teach you what you need to know.
Yeah.
You know, and I just kind of paid attention. And while I'm learning a lot of good stuff, I'm learning a lot of bad mistakes, you know, and things like
that. Somebody's personal habits and everything. Yeah.
Absolutely. See, I might be the best operator you've ever met, but that doesn't mean I'm the best teacher you've ever met. You know, especially you're handing someone that's been in the industry 30 years, they've forgotten what it was like to be green.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you look at a drill press, you're not entirely sure how this magic machine works, you know, and you're just assuming that someone knows. So by having that structured training that goes right to the basics, there was, I think, 12 hours in hand tools. Good luck filling 12 hours of training in hand tools, but it details out how to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you, across the board, especially region-wide and like you're saying nationwide, if we can get this going, you're going to have more consistent, better trained operators, which is going to equate to better clean water. And on the veterans end, $24,000 raise for the first 2 years to get them in, I'm very happy with it.
Yeah, that's a fantastic find. And then your last tent pole was about actually on the job placement. What's going on there?
So we've had some, success, but we were attending veteran-specific job fairs in New Hampshire and in Maine. Just letting them know that we as an industry are here. Got some interest, not so much, you know, but in Massachusetts, Jeremiah Murphy's leading the charge in Massachusetts for the committee, and he was able to sit in front of a veterans officers convention, sort of like where we're at now, and gave the presentation to 200 vets, you know, right there. So let them know that we have. I do think a big part of this is if we get to the training centers and let them know that we're an industry, a desirable industry that really could use their skills. And something I read that I thought was amazing to help folks. Say you wanted to attract a veteran. I'm in the wastewater business, and typically in the interview process and the advertising process, I'm glazing over some of the dirtier parts of the job. You know, I'm not really advertising the fact that this is you're getting up at 1 o'clock on a moment's notice. You know, I'm I'm not advertising the fact that at some point you might be asked to do something that would never be really fun. The veteran wants to do that. You know, they're not looking to settle down. They're still looking to have that excitement. You advertise it that way. You're advertising, you're serving your community on a moment's notice. This is an emergency. You know, when we have flooding, who's out there? When we have that main water break, who's out there? You know, that's exciting stuff for veterans.
Yeah.
And by advertising it the softer side, you might be losing out on that market. So that might be another way of helping getting in the jobs and showing them that it's a little bit more exciting than what we normally advertise out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's really exciting. I know that the people that listen to this podcast across the water sector are going to be very interested to hear about that Water Warriors effort and just kind of the energy that's starting to build up here in this part of the country around it. I wanted to hear your thoughts on what value veterans bring to a workforce and bring to water jobs.
They bring in that readiness on a moment's notice to do what's that. They're already a leader. They're already a follower. You know, there's someone that can do both ends of that. The training can't be overstated, not just in technical rates, but say safety culture. Safety culture is drilled day in, day out in the military. Everyone is in charge of their own safety. Everyone is the safety coordinator. Mm-hmm. You know, so you're getting someone in that knows how to do the job right, do it right now, and do it safely. You know, when you're thinking about the veterans coming in, these are folks that they signed on because they wanted to serve. You know, they have that sense of purpose. How do I serve, you know, our countrymen? And when you get in the water industry, and it's the number one improvement in public health, clean water the value of it can't be overstated. And you sell that to the veteran community. This is a huge service that you're still providing in your own hometown. You don't have to go everywhere. There's water resources across the country. So either you're a veteran from Ohio or from Maine, there's going to be jobs near you that you're still serving folks. And it's an exciting job. You know, and that brings that passion, what I called it, enthusiasm and professionalism together that you're going to find. And I don't think it can be overstated the value that would bring to an employer. It's a career worth doing. Like I said, we're making the world better a million gallons at a time.
Could you introduce yourself?
Thank you, Travis. I am Specialist Brandy Madden, and I work for Whitewater Incorporated, which we do drinking water solutions as well as wastewater. And I'm in the 125th Quartermaster, where I do water purification.
Okay, and that's Army National Guard.
Army National Guard unit based out of Massachusetts.
Okay.
I've done that for about 6 years now.
Just want to talk about those jobs a little bit. Could you describe your position in the military and kind of the water work you do there, the water purification work? I mean, I was really amazed when I saw the presentation and just the how technical and impressive that work is. Yeah.
Sure. Well, we supply water to all different size elements. We can supply water tactically to special forces type of units that need to get it on the run. You know, they're not going to be on a FOB, you know, forward operating base.
Mm-hmm.
But we also supply water to, you know, an entire FOB, a base full of soldiers to, you know, either showering, cooking, drinking water, everything that comes along with the gig.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a few different types of equipment to do that. As we said,
I mean, you're talking reverse osmosis and desalination and kind of all different capabilities, really.
Yeah, that's the really great thing. Not only with the ROPUs, we have two different ROPUs, reverse osmosis water purification unit.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is the 3,000 gallon per hour. And the second one is a 1,500 gallon per hour, primarily based, the 1,500 gallon per hour is primarily based on micro and ultrafiltration.
Okay.
So not reverse osmosis for that one, but you can desalinate. We have a lot of different systems for desalination, so based on where we are. Not only that, but we also treat chemically, nuclear, biologically, and explosives contaminated water.
Wow.
That's not going to be your first go-to.
But in a case of need.
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So you could be at some forward operating base somewhere, and then you're going to find a local body of water, and you're going to get water out of that, treat it, and then that's what you provide.
So thing about water dogs is the going phrase is we're the first ones in, the last ones out, because you can't establish a forward operating base until you have a supply chain that you can set up, you know, with your water source. You're not going to go in and say, well, we're going to dig a well. That's going to be your last case scenario.
Yeah.
So we'll go in first and survey and make sure this is going to be a good place to like plan our routes. So that's, you know, the cool thing about it.
I was really also impressed the training that you talked about that the military provides for you to be able to do this type of job. I think that was really interesting for the audience who's in the water sector to hear about that training. Could you summarize that for us also?
Oh, of course. It's 13 weeks of hands-on training. It's 6 days a week for at least 8 hours a day. I mean, I'm up at, you know, 0400 doing PT in the morning. Then we, you know, go to chow and we shower. And then you're hitting, you know, the equipment with people that have been in the field for, you know, 15 plus years, 20 years. Some of these people, they're, a lot of them are retired Army personnel that work as civilians to train, you know, the incoming soldiers, which is really great because those are the people that are the gold mine of, you know, information.
So. Sure.
And we learn how to, you know, operate all the equipment. We do pump maintenance, electrical wiring, chemical testing. We know how to use all the pocket meters and whatnot. Yeah. We have a brief section that we do lab work as well. It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's in-depth training.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
When and how did you then get into, you know, on the civilian side working in water?
So I worked for the Parks Department, surprisingly enough, for the last 5 years after I got out of basic training, thinking that, oh, you know, I like working outside and whatnot. Which is why I actually went into water in the military, because I liked the hands-on working outside aspect of it. And then, you know, the Parks Department, I'm like, you know, it's not really what I'm passionate about. It's not my skill set, you know, but it was good enough for the time. And I was like, I got to do more. I have to do something that's like more satisfying to me and being able to help people and do water purification. And now, you know, moving into wastewater treatment, it's helping the environment as well, which is, you know, I'm a biologist at heart.
Okay.
So, you know, that's what I'm passionate about. And I just, I took a leap of faith and I'm like, what's the worst they can say? No.
Yeah.
You know, I can apply to Whitewater, which was, ironically, Whitewater does testing of all the small water systems for the state. So I had heard of them before. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to try it. And, I don't know what they saw in me, but
yeah. And so, and your job with them now is you do what?
So I'm a service technician. That's my technical job title, but I do a lot of different things.
Yeah.
So I'm part of a compliance and operational support group. So it's a few younger people like myself, not to be ageist, but they seem to be the ones that are like leading the charge in technology and whatnot.
Sure. Absolutely.
So they're tasked with doing a lot of things like that, maybe new maintenance programs, you know, troubleshooting. That's one of the cool things that they're like, hey, Brandy, you know, we're having brown water at, you know, X location. Do you mind going to check it out? It's been like this for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, it's not testing positive for, you know, lead or anything like that. But why is this happening? And be able to go there and say, like, it's your hot water tanks.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
say, we never thought of that.
Wow.
Just having, like, a different perspective, you know, and being a woman in the industry is also, I think we think a little differently, which can be, you know, good and a bad thing. But
well, I mean, I think, like you said, you don't know what they saw in you or whatever, but I think they must have seen, like, wow, this individual has all this real world experience at a very high level of, with water purification and to incredible standards. So that's got to be a great value, a great asset for them to add that to Whitewater.
Yeah, I'm so happy that you know, I digress. You know, it's not that I don't know what they saw in me, but they took a chance with me because I'm young and I didn't have the certifications I needed necessarily when I came in. But it's like a sponsorship program that they gave me, and they're like, listen, if you're willing to put the work forward, you have the intelligence, you have the previous training, and you see potential in you. And with the military, that was one big thing that, you know, my boss, Eric Smith, had talked about, that, you know, with your military training and the standards that you have and your leadership skills, that was huge for them.
Yeah.
So,
and so let's talk about that for a minute is, aside from your specific technical knowledge in water purification, but just talking generally, why do you think veterans, you know, people coming out of the military are a value to any workforce?
Well, I think the big thing about veterans is the discipline that they possess. That's a key fundamental, you know, trait that military people have is the discipline to get the job done when it needs to be done, you know, in the face of adversity. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll talk about, you know, one of my little stories is that my first sergeant in my unit, they were deployed in Afghanistan about 8 years ago, last time my unit was deployed in a combat situation. And he told me a story about how the Nationals were shooting at the Roku, which is, you know, looks like the big trailer of a tractor trailer. But it's pretty sturdy, but it only takes so much.
Sure.
Because they want to take out the supply lines. And the whole soldier on mentality, what they ended up doing. And I asked him, I was like, what the heck did you do? He said, well, we put sandbags on the side of the Roku.
Wow.
So they couldn't do anything. I was like, you know, and that's the soldier spirit. Get the job done, no matter what.
Find a way.
Yeah.
What do you think veterans bring to water sector jobs?
Well, to the water sector, it seems to be a pretty reactive industry. Mm-hmm. With wastewater. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, when the poop hits the fan type of situation.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can call them up in the middle of the night, and they're going to roll out of bed, you know, and be ready.
Yeah.
Not only that, but with their technical skills, I'm pretty sure everyone in the military has worked on a small engine or some kind of pump or motor at some point in their career, because that's just what you do. They're everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to get, you know, hip pocket training on doing pump repair and, you know, strange things like that along the way. So you pick up a lot of those things.
And it seems also, you know, the water sector, for a lot of these positions, there are the different levels of training and education and certification, and you move up that way in a very similar way that you would in a military career path, where you have to go through the different levels of training, put in the work, be patient to kind of move up through the ranks.
Right. And it's all about how bad you want it too. And I feel like one big thing about military people is that they're hungry.
Yeah.
They didn't have to do what they do now. And that's like the hunger that I love, and I see the fire inside people. Life, you know, usually isn't easy for your everyday soldier. Like, we don't join the military because it's fun. We all have our own personal reasons. I joined the military for school because I'm really lucky. The Massachusetts National Guard pays for 100% tuition and fees.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know, that's one way to do it, and it's a great experience. It's opened so many doors for me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, just overall, with, you know, different soldier skills, they're all, you know, moving up the ranks through, you know, different licensing and whatnot. It's a natural progression in your military career to increase in rank, and you have to do structured self-development classes and leadership classes and whatnot, and that's on you. And when you're in the military and you don't do that, they consider you stagnant, and you're going to be out. So it's like it's ingrained in you. If there's a class to be taken, you better take that class.
Last question for you. Any words of advice to people, active duty folks or folks that just recently got out that might be thinking about the water sector, or advice on why they should think about the water sector?
Yeah, I mean, biggest thing I would say is don't be afraid that you're not qualified, because a lot of people are going to see potential in you and they're going to help get you qualified. You know, especially with agencies, you know, the Veterans Water Warriors Initiative, that coming up, that's a huge thing. But just don't be afraid of failure. Just give it a shot, and you'd be surprised, you know, how other people are going to look at you. And it's a great industry to get into that has longevity and not just something where you're going to be riding a desk, because I know a lot of soldiers don't want to be stuck behind a computer. That's like a number one complaint I hear. So something that you want to do that's hands-on, that you can make a difference. You know, you can help, you know, the clean water industry, and maybe in the drinking water industry, you're also doing your community service for that. So don't pass it up. There's a lot of money to be had in it. It's an aging industry, and we need new lifeblood. So just give it a shot.
Thanks for taking the time to sit down and talk to us about this. I can't wait to put the podcast out. Thank you both for your service, and thanks for your service in the water sector.
Words on Water.